Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 70 for the August 2013 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, so anyone can submit. Listeners of the podcast, creators of comics, publishers of comics, editors of comics, anybody. People, well, if you're not listening to the podcast, you wouldn't know about the episode, but really, anyone can submit, and I really encourage that because I go through previews every month, and, you know, this month is a great example where, you know, one of the clips from Drew pointed out something that I had just missed in previews. It was the Walking Dead number one 10th anniversary where it's in color. Sam is going to be talking about Witchblade, and he got me interested in that. So the whole point here is to let people know about stuff that's in previews. Yes, they could see it, but this is a 400 or 500 page catalog, another 100 pages from Marvel. It's easy to miss stuff. I mean, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month. Things get lost in the shuffle. Our goal here is to help you spot stuff that you're going to like. As always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those are the highlights you guys have sent in. So, let's start listening to clips.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast, and this month I am looking forward to a comic book called Shaolin Cowboy, number one from Dark Horse Comics. It's written and drawn by great artist Jeff Darrow, and the solicit is as follows. The Shaolin Cowboy returns, but nowhere in sight is there a dead Robin. Any Infinity Gauntlets or a single conquering Ultron, just flat-out action, intrigue, and plenty of roadkill. Jeff Darrow, slow-talking, kung-fu-gripping hero, proves once again in this brand new series, the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a chainsaw. What we got here is going to be amazing artwork from Jeff Darrow, who doesn't really put out a lot of comic books, especially sequential artwork. He does a few more covers than he does comic books. I think the last time a Shaolin Cowboy comic book came out was in, I believe, 2007. So it's been a while, and I think it's been a long time coming. But what you got here is ultra-violent, ultra-highly detailed artwork. I think Jeff Darrow is a big influence on a lot of other more contemporary comic book artists, like Chris Burnham or a few other artists like that. He's been around for a long time. He worked in television for animation, he worked on the Super Friends in the 80s, early 80s, worked on movies. He's a conceptual artist for the Matrix movies, all three. So it's going to be a real treat to see Jeff Darrow coming back to comic book. And you've got the added bonus of it being 50% off if you get your comics from DCBS. So it's a $3.99 comic, but it's going to be $1.99 through DCBS. Either way, it's worth your time and money. Once again, it's called Shaolin Cowboy number one. And it's from Dark Horse. It's going to be released on October 9th, and I look forward to it. Thanks a lot, John.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month is on page 36 in the Dark Horse section, and it is Shaolin Cowboy by Jeff Darrow. The Shaolin Cowboy returns, but nowhere in sight is there a dead Robin, any Infinity Gauntlets, or a single conquering Ultron. Just flat-out action, intrigue, and plenty of roadkill. Jeff Darrow's slow-talking, kung-fu-gripping hero proves once again that this brand-new, new series, that the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a chainsaw. For those who are not aware of it, Shaolin Cowboy originally appeared at around, I think about 2004, published by Burleyman Entertainment. There were a number of issues that lasted I think until 2007. So here we have Dark Horse bringing back Darrow's Shaolin Cowboy, and you can find out more about this strange, offbeat, pulp hero slash cowboy type figure on page 36 of the August Previews catalog. This is Derek again, and my next pick of the month is also in the Dark Horse section of the previews catalog, and it is Astounding Villain House by Shannon Wheeler. Now, this is another one of those examples where Dark Horse is collecting several of the stories from their Dark Horse Presents series, their award-winning Dark Horse Presents series, and putting it out as a single issue, or in some cases, the beginning of an ongoing series. Well, here we have a single issue. This is from Shannon Wheeler of Too Much Coffee Man fame, and if you know anything about Too Much Coffee Man, then you have a sense of the hilarity that is going to be promised in Astounding Villain House. Now, from the mind of Best Humor Publication Eisner winner Shannon Wheeler, the solicit reads, come four hysterical tales of failed bank robberies, bad dates, doomed team-ups, and ruined empires. Introducing a new cast of lovable loser supervillains, Wheeler reveals that evil and laugh-out-loud pathos lurks within the walls of the Villain House, and this collects all four hilarious stories from Dark Horse Presents. If you are the kind of reader who appreciates offbeat, strange humor such as Dorkin's Milk and Cheese and The Goon, then you're going to like Shannon Wheeler's Astounding Villain House. And you'll find this on page 47 of the August catalog.
This is Drew with a pick from the previews catalog, page 49. And this is The Massive, number 16, written by Brian Wood with art by Gary Brown and cover by Jordi Belair. This is a $3.50 book. Massive is a great read. It's got some environmental, ecological-minded things. These guys are on a Greenpeace-type ship that is in a post-apocalyptic world where there's been massive flooding, and so a lot of the world's economy is broken down. There's not a lot of land mass left, but there's a great storyline going on right now with a nuclear sub. So it's been really a great read. This one looks to take place in the rugged North Sea. The crew of the Capital, that's the big ship that they are captaining, that our main character, Israel Callum, is captaining, come across a rogue group of whalers persistently hunting despite the realities of the crash. When Callum Israel, I called him Israel Callum, it's Callum Israel, and his crew intervene, they come face to face with centuries of tradition and what is referred to as the old ways. And the reason it's called The Massive is he had a sister ship, and that ship is missing, and kind of the underlying story arc throughout this title is this search with him at the helm of the Capitol looking for The Massive, which is the big ship, with this great backdrop and a lot of it really great stories and a lot of environmental undertones and stuff going on there, so really a lot of great stuff going on in this book. I love it. I can't recommend it enough. It's 32 pages for $3.50. You can find it on page 49 in the Dark Horse section of previews. Pick it up.
This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is also in the Dark Horse section of the August catalog, and it is another installment in Richard Corbin's what seems like revitalized adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe stories and poems. This one is an adaptation of The Raven and the Red Death. The very short solicit reads, "Unwelcome and bloodthirsty guests are on the move in these two terrifying Poe stories presented by Eisner Hall of Fame inductee Richard Corbin." I probably have said it before on this preview show, there's really no one who adapts Edgar Allan Poe quite like Richard Corbin. He has a unique style. He's able to capture the tone of Poe's gothic horror, and he also has a very long history of doing this. And over the past year or year and a half, what Corbin has been doing in through Dark Horse is readapting a variety of the poems and stories of Edgar Allan Poe, in fact most of which he had previously adapted earlier in the 1970s and 80s. Last year we had a one-shot adaptation of the poem The Conqueror Worm, and then earlier this year we had a two-issue adaptation of The Fall of the House of Usher, which actually was an unusual adaptation because it kind of mashed up Fall of the House of Usher and the Oval Mirror. So here we have another example of adaptations from Richard Corbin. I have a hunch that pretty darn soon Corbin is going to be putting out a book collection of new adaptations, and it is going to collect a variety of these Dark Horse comics that have been coming out over the past year or two. So I would look forward to that. That's just my hunch. But for now, we definitely have The Raven and Red Death by Richard Corbin, and you can find this on page 66 of the August catalog. This is Derek again, and my next pick of the month is also in the Dark Horse section. There's a lot of Dark Horse this month, and you'll find it on page 71, and it is EC Archives, Tales from the Crypt, Volume 4, and this is a hardcover edition. Now, one of the things that's notable about this is that this appears to be the next volume in what started off about 10 years ago as a collection of reprints, an archival reprints of various EC titles, classic titles. It had been published by Gemstone, and then about 2 years ago, GC Press began putting out these archives, and I think they had two editions. Now, apparently, Dark Horse is going to pick up where Gemstone and then GC Press left off. Gemstone published three archival collections of Tales from the Crypt. Now we have Dark Horse coming out with Volume 4. This will collect the classic Tales from the Crypt issues number 35 through 40, and as with the other editions, this one is in full color. One of the things that's notable about this in many ways is in competition with what Fantagraphics is doing right now. They have their own EC archive line, but the way that they're putting out the material is by artist, and we've seen a number of volumes from them already on this. I believe Jack Davis, Wally Wood, and a few others, where it collects their classic EC stories, but does so according to just one particular creator. Here we have the series that takes a title and republishes those titles in chronological order. Again, apparently Dark Horse is picking up where Gemstone and GC Press left off. I'm glad that they're doing this. I really enjoy the Fantagraphics versions of what they're doing with the creator-centered collections, but I prefer those that come out by title and are chronologically presented. And also, the thing about the EC Archives is that they're in color, which is something you do not get with the Fantagraphics. So to find out more about this, go to page 71 of the previews catalog, and there you will find, and it's about time, Volume 4, EC Archives, Tales from the Crypt, and just in time for Halloween.
Next up on page 92 is Justice League 3000 number 1 from DC. This is written by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, art and cover by Kevin McGuire, so essentially we're getting that whole Justice League, Justice League International team back together, and this time they're taking the Justice League to the year 3000. Now, this is, to a certain extent, sort of a replacement title for the Legion of Superheroes, based on the cover art here on page 92. We're getting versions of Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern that they're saying are the heroes of today, but they've got very different costumes and look to have a little bit different attitude. So I'm frankly not entirely sure what to make of this, other than it's Giffen DeMatteis on the writing. They're doing a great job over on Larfleeze. Did great stuff, you know, obviously back on the last time they were on the Justice League. Kevin McGuire is just an amazing artist. This is going to be a lot of fun, almost regardless of the content. And again, the content itself, a version of the Justice League in another time frame, always a lot of fun when they do that. And hopefully we'll see the Legion in the background on some of this stuff. This is going to be on sale beginning of October on the 2nd. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, so check it out. Next up on page 124 is Injustice, Gods Among Us number 10. This is written by Tom Taylor. This is sort of based on the video game, but frankly, it is a offshoot continuity from the New 52, so it's using those versions of the characters, but having a couple of events that just could never happen in the mainstream universe, so they're free of the constraints of continuity and are telling a really good storyline here. It basically is trying to explain why in the video game all the heroes are fighting amongst themselves, and does a really good job setting up some key differences between a couple of different camps of heroes, with Superman leading one and Batman leading another. At this point, Superman's trying to stop Batman's kind of, behind-the-scenes maneuvering. Batman's got a couple of cards left to play, such as killing the power to the Justice League satellite. Who knows exactly what havoc that'll wreak. Based on the cover, it looks like it could take it out of orbit, and that'd be a bad thing. This is, again, a title I think a lot of people have ignored because they're not playing the video game. I'm not playing the video game. I have no interest in it. But, again, they're telling a really fun story without needing to stay within the bounds of continuity. They're able to make serious changes to characters and relationships you just can't do in the mainstream titles. I really recommend checking this out. This is a digital-first comic, so you can go start at the beginning digitally if you'd like to. What they do is reprint 3 of the digital installments per issue. I'm not sure how much longer this is going to go as a monthly, but I know this particular digital first title has been selling fairly well for them with a lot of reorder activity on it. It's definitely a hidden gem. We got a 50% discount through DCBS. I hope this is a good jumping on point. Again, Tom Taylor's doing some really good work here. He's going to be moving on to Earth 2 in the future. Again, Injustice Gods Among Us number 10 on page 124. Check it out.
This is Drew with another pick, and this is on page 142. It's a Vertigo book. It's The Sandman, Overture number 1. Written by Neil Gaiman, of course. My goodness, I did not know this was coming out this quickly. I'm super excited about this. Art's by J.H. Williams III. Amazing that this is back. We're going to get another taste of Sandman. It's only going to be a 6-issue miniseries. This first issue is going to be $5. So we're paying for the privilege, but it's Sandman. And it's been a long time. Well, 25 years since Sandman came out for Vertigo. So this is, of course, it belongs in Vertigo. I'm excited to see it there. That's where it belongs. This a nice lengthy solicitation I won't bore you with. You can read that yourself and enjoy. Really all you need to know is Neil Gaiman. And if you were on the fence, then the art of J.H. Williams III should put you over. And the art is beautiful. Just the first glance here, we've got a couple pages, and it's really amazing stuff. And I'm anxiously awaiting the return of a new Sandman story, and cannot wait. And so I highly recommend it, even at the $5 price point. It is 36 pages, so you get a little more pages for that. But yeah, you've got to check this out. So highly recommend it.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is in the Vertigo section. It's on page 144, Coffin Hill, written by Caitlin Kitteridge, art by Inaki Miranda, and cover by Dave Johnson. And in fact, Vertigo has quite a number of new number one issues in this month's catalog. Now, previously we heard about the new Sandman Overture number one. Now there is Coffin Hill number one. Coffin Hill stars Eve Coffin, a rebellious teenage lowlife from a high society family with a curse that goes back to the Salem witch trials. Following a night of sex, drugs, and witchcraft in the woods, Eve wakes up naked, covered in blood, and unable to remember how she got there. One friend is missing, one is in a mental ward, and one knows that Eve is responsible. After a stint as a Boston cop that ends in a bullet wound and unintended celebrity, Eve returns to Coffin Hill, only to discover the darkness that she unleashed 10 years ago in the woods was never contained. It continues to seep through the town, cursing the soul of this sleepy Massachusetts hollow, spilling secrets and enacting its revenge. There's a lot packed into this solicit, and I really do hope that the new series fulfills what seems to be quite a bit of promise and interesting twists. So you can find out more about this on page 144 of the previews catalog. And while you're at it, check out the other number ones, the new number ones from Vertigo. On page 142, there's Sandman Overture. On page 145, there's Hinterkind number one. And on page 147, we have another anthology, The Witching Hour number one, by a lot of good creators. Check out the Vertigo section.
Next up on page 170 from IDW is Star Trek Con number one of five. Now, this is overseen by the Star Trek Into Darkness writer-producer Roberto Orci, and they're typically staying very much in line with what the movies are doing, I mean, to an amazing degree. This miniseries is going to give us the origin of Khan, all the way from his earliest years and rise to power through, you know, when we see him in the Star Trek Into Darkness movie. I thought the movie was great. I'm really, really impressed with the job IDW is doing with the Star Trek property these days. It's both really good comics, really good stories, and really in line with what they're doing on the movies. So we've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. I really can't recommend it strongly enough. I mean, I'm not sure what else to tell you other than it's really good, it's in line with the movies. If you like the movies, if you like Star Trek comics, do yourself a favor. If you're not reading these, check these out. I think you'll be really pleased. So once again, Star Trek Con number 1 of 5 from IDW on page 170.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is on page 188 of the August catalog. It's in the Image section. Pretty Deadly, number one. Written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, with art by Emma Rios and Jordi Belair. Kelly Sue DeConnick and Emma Rios reunite to bring you an all-new ongoing series that marries the magical realism of Sandman and the Western brutality of Preacher. Death's daughter rides the wind on a horse made of smoke, and her face bears the skull marks of her father. Her tale of retribution is as beautifully lush as it is unflinchingly savage. And what Image does, as it many times does in the catalog, is to give you several pages of sample art. So you can check out pages 188, 89, 90, and 191 for a wonderful sampling of an art that is really enticing. So I will definitely get this first issue, and it's something that you should check out as well. Also, earlier I had mentioned the new anthology from Vertigo, The Witching Hour. Well, Kelly Sue DeConnick is one of the contributors to that. So it is a Kelly Sue DeConnick month in this month's previews. You can find out more about Pretty Deadly on page 188 of the catalog. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick is also in the preview section. You'll find this on page 192, Velvet, number one, by Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting. these two creators get together. These are the guys who refined and redefined Captain America and the Winter Soldier saga. When the world's best secret agent is killed, Velvet Templeton, the personal assistant to the director of the agency, is drawn off her desk and back into the field for the first time in nearly 20 years, and is immediately caught in a web of mystery, murder, and high-octane action. Sexy and provocative, with a dark twist on the spy genre, this extra-length first issue by two of the industry's best-selling creators will knock you out, and that's what it promises in the solicit. It will knock you out. So I'm expecting to be knocked out by this, and not only because the people at Vertigo tell me that I will be knocked out, but because this is by Ed Brubaker. As far as I'm concerned, you really can't go wrong with almost any of his work, and when it comes to the genres of spy and detective narrative, you can't equal him. Find out more about this on pages 192 through 195 of the August catalog, Velvet Number 1.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from Image, and this is on page 198 of the previews catalog. It is The Walking Dead Number 1, 10th Anniversary Edition. This is what started it all. This time, it's in full color. The colorist is Dave Stewart, who is changing the original Tony Moore art into full color. I'm getting this because I have purchased number one a number of times in a number of formats. Image first. I don't have the first printing of number one. I wish. I have an image first. I have a trade. I have collection. An omnibus. One is in all of those, and why not get this one? So, this is in full color. Anxious to see what Tony Moore's art looks with color on it. Looks like with color on it. It's a little pricey, $6. 48 pages though. You do get all the covers and variants done for this issue through the years, and some extra bonus stuff. And Kirkman usually gives you some cool bonus things. So. It's something I like to have multiple copies of and multiple forms of for some reason. So, I think this is a unique opportunity to get some cool, add-ins from Kirkman and company, on Walking Dead number one. Pick it up.
Next up on page 200 is Rocket Girl number one from Image Comics. The concept here is we've got a teenage cop from the future sent back to 1986 to stop some crimes against time, and in the process, she discovers that the future she's from wasn't meant to be. Does she fix it and put things right that, from our perspective, or the real timelines, I don't know whose perspective actually, that once went wrong? Or does she protect the future she came from so she can continue to exist, or is her existence even in jeopardy? I'm a big fan of time travel stories. This looks like a lot of fun. The whole, you know, jetpack and ray gun stuff, kind of motif or whatever comes into play, at least with the jetpack. I don't know if she's got a ray gun, but she's a cop. She's got to have a gun. The art is by Amy Reeder and the story by Brandon Montclair. He did Halloween Eve. She has done Batwoman, Madame Xanadu, among other things. So really strong creative team. They've got 4 pages of art in previews on page 201. This looks just like a lot of fun. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, that's Rocket Girl number 1 from Image Comics on page 200. Check it out.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam with a pick this month from page 207, Witchblade number 170, and this issue represents the return of Ron Marz to writing of the Witchblade. He wrote from issue 80 all the way to 150, some of the best Witchblade ever written. I thought he did a great job, and in many ways one of the really great runs of the last 10 years or so. Some people kind of forgot or didn't think about, but it was a really, really well done run. And he's returning to writing Witchblade with issue 170, so I definitely will be checking that out.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my first pick. It is Daredevil, number 32. This is in the Marvel's Previews book. It's on page 43. Daredevil, number 32. Of course, Mark Waid is the writer. Chris Samnee, the artist, and doing the cover. There's a Thor battle variant also available. Love this Daredevil series. Love Mark Waid's writing. Chris Samnee's art's great. This looks really intriguing. Looks like we've got ourselves a Halloween themed issue. There's some monsters on the cover. Frankenstein and the Mummy and the Werewolf and some others. So it looks pretty great. It's a $2.99 book, 32 pages. You can't go wrong with Daredevil. I'm consistently one of the best books that Marvel's putting out. It should be Marvel now. It should be coming out every 2 weeks like some of their other books, but maybe it wouldn't be as good. So love this. Can't recommend it enough. And I'm definitely on board. Daredevil number 32 on page 43 of the Marvel Previews. Pick it up.
Next up on page 256 is The Fox number 1 from Archie Comics. Now, a while back, I was recommending the New Crusaders stuff, and there was a second miniseries that was supposed to come out, and it got delayed and stuff. So at San Diego, I asked the guys at Archie, kind of, what's up with this? I'm really enjoying this. And apparently, the quote-unquote problem they were having was after doing the New Crusaders stuff, a lot of creators came to them and said, you know, we'd love to play in this universe, can we? And the Fox is part of, I mean, they delayed stuff so they could plan things out and make sure they're doing it right. Their plan is to do a New Crusaders miniseries, a solo miniseries like the Fox here, and then alternate back and forth, going through the different characters in the individual miniseries. We got Dean Haspel doing some of the writing, and the other person doing some of the writing here is Mark Waid. So we know this is going to be good stuff. The basic premise here is, again, they're taking the Fox, one of their characters, out of that universe, and just doing a solo miniseries for a little bit. And these comics are along the lines of what I would say classic 80s comics were. Definitely all ages. They're not kids' books. They're not written down to anybody. But they're also not something that you would hand to a kid and either traumatize the kid or the kid's mother. Archie knows how to do good comics. I've been just loving what they're doing with the Red Circle characters. I am certain this is just going to be a continuation of that wonderful work. And I'm glad they decided to take the time, kind of regroup, plan things out, and get it to where they can have a lot more creators and a lot of, you know, in this case, like Mark Waid, get them involved. This is, I think, good for everybody. This is what I consider to be an on-ramp comic book for younger readers or, for whatever reason, people who are not really looking for the darker, grimmer, grittier stuff that we tend to get in most comics, Marvel and DC these days. So, once again, that's The Fox number 1. It's got a $2.99 cover price. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. I highly recommend it. It's on page 256 from Archie Comics. Check it out. Next up on page 263 is Executive Assistance Assassins number 16. This is the start of a new story arc, and what's got me excited about this storyline is they're going to explore the history of the Executive Assistant Academy, starting with the first one forged many years ago. And that's one of the hallmarks of this series, is how these young ladies were trained to be assassins, bodyguards, etc., and kind of all the politics around both that and the people they work for. This is a really fun franchise over at Aspen. It's one that I really recommend. This should be a great jumping on point. The cover price here is $3.99, but we've got a 50% discount on it, bringing it down to half that, obviously. I really recommend diving into this if you're the least bit interested in this kind of stuff. Again, young, beautiful females doing martial arts and, you know, shooting people and all sorts of stuff like that. It's got both the eye candy and the action quotient and some really good plots and stories behind all of that. A lot of fun stuff. Worth checking out. So once again, Executive Assistance Assassins number 16 from Aspen Comics on page 263. Next up on page 274 is Bleeding Cool Magazine number 7. Yes, I'm not suggesting a comic here. I'm suggesting a magazine. Although, really, I'm not. Because There are a couple of things about this issue that I think are really important. One, it's got the top 100 power list that Rich Johnson's put together. That's always an entertaining and interesting list. Two, this is still the 104 pages it typically is, but the retail price here is $1.99. A bargain at any price, certainly at that. And, how did I say this was a comic again? He's including a copy of Shadow Man 13X, which is only available here. So much like back in the day when Valiant and other comic publishers would do a special, you know, polybagged issue or whatever in with a copy of Wizard or something, Rich Johnson is kind of picking that up and doing it here with Bleeding Cool. Now, Bleeding Cool magazine is very different than the Bleeding Cool website. The website's the more topical stuff, the more in the moment. This allows them to dive into a bit more detail and do things kind of more appropriate for a magazine. In other words, not the breaking news sort of a thing, but more interviews and digging in. I'm getting the magazine. I'm liking it. I think it fills a void in the industry with Comic Buyer's Guide having gone away, Wizard having gone away. I think Rich Johnson is actually doing some really good stuff here. And this is content that is not available on the website. Again, really recommend this. It's got a $1.99 cover price, so even if all you want is that Shadow Man 13X, it's a good deal. And through DCBS, we've got a 50% discount, getting that price to a buck or 99 cents. I'd have to look at the order form, but still, either way, it's a penny difference. It's worth checking out for the Shadow Man 13X alone. Hopefully, you'll really like the magazine itself. Again, like I said, Rich Johnson and company is doing a great job with that. It's Bleeding Cool Magazine number 7 on page 274. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my last pick from, this is from Dynamite on page 296 in previews. This is Cryptozoic Man number 1. The interesting thing about this, it's the collaboration between Walter Flanagan and Brian Johnson, the two of the featured comic book shop guys in Comic Book Men, the Kevin Smith docu-reality series on AMC. These guys, we saw these guys pitch this book to the folks at Dynamite on an episode of Comic Book Men. The art is much creepier than it looked on the show. Probably not normally something I would even think about. But because of the being able to kind of see this is its inception through concept art on the show, I'm kind of intrigued. I'm interested in checking this out. This is going to be a $3.99 book. It's 32 pages, full color, it's on page 296, 297. There's an interview with Brian Johnson who wrote it. Walter Flanagan, Walt from the show, is the guy that did all the art. Very intriguing. I don't know what else to say. It seems exciting, like an exciting concept. So we'll just have to check it out and see it for $4 and give it a shot.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick in the August catalog appears on page 312, and it's in the Drawn and Quarterly section. Woman Rebel, The Margaret Sanger Story by Peter Bagg. Peter Bagg's Woman Rebel, The Margaret Sanger Story is a dazzling and accessible biography of the social and political maverick, jam-packed with fact and fun. Bagg presents the life of the birth control activist, educator, nurse, mother, and proto-feminist from her birth in the late 19th century to her death after the invention of the birth control pill. Balancing humor and respect, Bagg makes Sanger whole and human, showing how her flaws fueled by her fiery activism just as much as her compassionate nature did. Sanger's life takes on a whole new vivacity as Bagg creates a fast-paced portrait of a trailblazer whose legacy is as the founder of Planned Parenthood is incredibly relevant, important, and inspiring, and might I add, rather timely, given what we see going on in politics over the past year or so when it comes to women's issues and reproductive topics. I had the pleasure of speaking with Peter Bagg at HeroesCon back in May, and in fact, if you're interested, you can hear that interview on the Comics Alternative when Andy and I went to HeroesCon, and he was particularly excited about Woman Rebel and looked forward to it actually coming out. And he even said he'd talk to me in the future when the book did come out, so I could get another interview from him then. If you're not familiar with Peter Bagg's work, his art and writing is definitely distinctive. He's best known for Hate, the comic book, and now an annual. And now you can find his biographical foray in Woman Rebel, the Margaret Sanger story. This is a hardcover from Drawn In Quarterly. Read about it on page 312 of the catalog. This is Derek once again from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my next picks, there are two of them, of the month, appear in the Fantagraphics section, and they're on pages 318 and 319. The first one is the new graphic novel by Jim Woodring, and it is Fran. Now, in this graphic novel, the genius of Jim Woodring brings us more fun. It introduces a first-ever love interest for Woodring's beloved creation, Frank. Fans of Frank, connoisseurs of bizarre romance, and spelunkers in the brilliant depths of graphic meta-fictional psychodrama will want to add this singular cartoon adventure story to their lifetime reading list. That was an interesting solicit, by the way. If you're not familiar with Jim Woodring's art, he's probably best known for Frank, his ongoing series that comes out every now and again. Frank is a wordless, like a pantomime cartoon that is quite surrealistic, and it gets strange, so make sure that you are in your right mind and not on any substance when you read Frank, because otherwise you'll be, I don't know, you won't know what's going on. It is that unusual, but it's wonderful stuff and brilliant art. And here we have Fran, who is, I guess, the love interest of Frank. Now, on the next page, on 319, we have a new work. Actually, it's a collection from Tony Millionaire, Sock Monkey Treasury, a Tony Millionaire's Sock Monkey collection. For the first time, all 12 of Tony Millionaire's acclaimed Sock Monkey all-age comics are collected under one cover, as well as the full-cover graphic novella Uncle Gabby and the full-color illustrated storybook The Glass Doorknob. Also included is the only full-length Sock Monkey graphic novel, The Inches Incident. Beloved by adults and children, Sock Monkey harkens back to a time when comics actually were for all ages. If you're not familiar with Tony Millionaire's work, and specifically Sock Monkey, then you're really missing out on something. As the solicit indicated, Sock Monkey is an all-age comic, and here you have a variety of different characters, such as Mr. Crow and Uncle Gabby, and of course the Sock Monkey. And going on a series of adventures, and it's something that every aged reader can appreciate. Now, if your mindset is more on the adult and risque level, then you may want to check out, if you haven't already, Tony Millionaire's strip Mockies. There you'll find some of the same characters, such as Uncle Gabby and Mr. Crow, known in Mockies as Drinky Crow, in some rather offbeat and risque situations. So that is definitely not an all-age comic, but Sock Monkey is. And so if you've missed out on the Sock Monkey comics, then you can get this collection, The Sock Monkey Treasury, a Tony Millionaire's Sock Monkey collection. And this is on page 319, right next to Fran, Jim Woodring's Fran solicit on 318. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick is in the first second section on page 320 of the August catalog. A new book by Paul Pope, Battling Boy. When Battling Boy's father, a warrior god, drops him on a world infested with bloodthirsty monsters, he leaves his son with nothing but a magic credit card, a trunk full of enchanted t-shirts, and instructions not to come home until he's liberated the planet from its plague of monsters. It's one kid versus an entire world full of monsters, and the monsters don't stand a chance. If you're a fan of Paul Pope, as I am, then this is something that you definitely have to check out. And along with that, if you turn to the picture box section of the catalog, you'll find that they are soliciting as well Paul Pope, The Road to Battling Boy, which gives you a behind-the-scene, I guess, how it's created kind of book. All about Battling Boy, so great timing here with First Second. Another notable thing about this is that it is published by First Second. First Second has done a variety of just incredible books, especially all-ages books, over the past several years. And recently they have been getting several noted creators, just recently Matt Kent was one of them, to come over and do work for them. Now they have Paul Pope, and you can find out more about Battling Boy on page 320 of the August catalog.
Next up on page 331 is Rock Thrower number 1 from New Paradigm Studios. The concept of this one just intrigues me. It's about a down-and-out baseball scout who's kind of on his last legs, needs to get that find to really, you know, put his career back together. And he sees news footage of this teenager over in Palestine who is just throwing rocks with a speed and accuracy that just, you know, most Major League Baseball pitchers couldn't do. So he decides to go over there into the war zone, find this guy, and recruit him for baseball. It just seems like a wonderful concept. Something very different than we see in most comics and stuff. This is the same writer, Carl Bowlers, who's been doing Watson and Holmes. He's got Paul Mendoza helping on the writing. Gene DeCiccio and Various are doing the art, so can't really speak to how the art's going to be. But again, the concept here just sounds intriguing. So I'm going to check out the first issue, see if I like it. Again, it's Rock Thrower number 1 from New Paradigm Studios. It's a $2.99 cover price. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS. It's on page 331. Check it out. Next up on page 334 is Letter 44 number 1 from Oni Press. I don't tend to get a lot from Oni Press. They just haven't had things in the past that have really sparked my interest. This one definitely has, and they made it a no-brainer at the dollar cover price they've got on it. It's a full-color, 32-page comic, and the letter 44 it's referring to is the letter to the 44th President of the United States from his predecessor. The guy has just been elected, he's getting into office, he gets this letter and discovers that years earlier, aliens have been discovered constructing something in the asteroid belt. We've sent up a team of astronauts, and they're about to get there. So here's a president who's thinking, okay, I've got these things to deal with, and gets thrown this major sci-fi curveball. It just seems like a lot of fun and kind of got the potential for the president to be thinking, you know, what have I gotten myself into? Cool concept, really looking forward to it, sounds like a lot of fun. Again, dollar cover price made it a no-brainer. Doing it as a pick for DCBS drops it to 50 cents. How could you go wrong with that? And again, it's something that I don't read much from Oni Press. This one really sparked my interest. I wanted to share that with you guys. Hopefully you'll check it out too. Looks like it should be a good blend of potentially some politics, some sci-fi stuff. Who knows, could be the basis of a upcoming, you know, action-adventure summer blockbuster in future years. So once again, that's Letter 44 number 1 at the dollar cover price with a 50% discount through DCBS on page 334. Check it out.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my last pick of the month is on page 352 of the catalog, published by Uncivilized Books, Passine by Johann Sfar. Passine, a biography of the noted Jewish modernist painter, is Johann Sfar's most personal and important work. Passine is portrayed by Sfar both as a kindred spirit and as an aesthetic revolutionary struggling to redefine an art form. Sfar reveals in the artist's celebration of all things corporal in the world of art. Created in a direct and immediate drawing style, Sfar focuses more on the artist's personal and sexual life than on his art, and brings Passine to life as the ultimate bohemian. I've commented before on the previews show that Uncivilized Books is definitely a publisher to watch out for. They've been doing some wonderful things this year and with some noted creators. David Bay was one that they have published just recently. And now we have another international legend, Johann Svarr. And you can find out about Pacin on page 352 of the previews catalog. Thanks for the opportunity to share my solicits this month. Have a nice day.
My name is Brandon, and I go by Spidey Saves the Day in the forums. And I am previewing Shadow Man number 11 by Valiant Comics, written by Jim Zub, art by Miguel Sepulveda. And the description is, Halloween's here, and it's all about to hit New Orleans like a ton of bricks. It's all Hallows' Eve in the Big Easy, and Shadow Man's about to find himself alone on the job, standing guard on the most dangerous night of the year. Still reeling from the fallout of his cataclysmic battle with Master Dark, can Jack go it alone and protect his city from the legion of evils that haunt the Halloween night? I've been following Shadow Man, the original series back in the early 90s, and now this new version of it, and I absolutely love it. Also, I'm following a few other of the Valiant titles. But besides the great stories, something else I have enjoyed is some of the new variant covers, the 8-bit covers, where they take the hero and they place him in an old video game, Nintendo or whatnot, from the early 90s. So in this case, Shadow Man 11 has a variant cover of, looks like an old Mega Man game. And I just see it as one more bonus for a great line of titles now to have just kind of a fun cover. So I recommend everyone to check out the Valiant Universe if they haven't yet, and pick up Shadow Man 11 or pick up any of those and maybe look out for some of those 8-bit covers. Back to you, John.
So my total before discount and all that stuff, my total at retail is $851.03. After my discount, adding in the weekly shipping, the bags, the boards, all that stuff, it comes down to $538.14, which is a little more than I like it to be. I like it to be around 500-ish, or, you know, if it's below that, I'm actively looking. If it's above that, I'm like, hey, can I cut? But as is often the case, I really don't have that many, you know, quote-unquote, big-ticket items. And I put quotes around that because the things I'm going to list off are not big-ticket items. I've got the Empowered Trade Paperback. That is costing like $10 after discount, $10.19. Batman number 24, $4.19. To generate this list, I looked at anything over $3. That's how not big-ticket items these are. The Valiant Bundle, but really that's split across the 7 or so items, so that doesn't count. And then 60 manga digests or trades or whatever you want to call them. And really, the only other big-ticket item beyond that Empowered trade is back issue number 69, which is $7.46. So, I mean, the nature of what I buy is just a ton of comics. It's not like I've got anything, you know, huge from the back half, not even the back half, but the back end of previews, where you've got, you know, the statues, the busts, the toys, which I'll admit at times I have dived into and spent some serious money on. The other thing, if it were a smaller month, and I may do this anyways, I'm really tempted to get the Star Trek official ship collection for the different Enterprises and stuff from the shows on page 395. But at this point, I need to be, you know, a little bit more, you know, thoughtful as to how much I spend, just because, again, I'm a little above where I like to be, and particularly with, like, those Star Trek ships. Granted, they're only, like, I don't know, $20 a piece, less after discount. That's more of a getting involved in another sort of a thing to collect, and that's always dangerous. I wound up right now with 7 items from Dark Horse on my list, 80 from DC, 13 from IDW, 20 from Image, 66 from Marvel, which strikes me as low, and then 58 from the back half of previews, so all the other publishers and stuff combined. Typically, I tend to do almost an even 3-way split between DC, Marvel, and everybody else. Right now, that's actually looking much heavier in the everybody else category. Just between the 58 from the other publishers, that's almost, you know, add in IDW, that puts it just above 70, add in Dark Horse 78, So nearly 100 things from Dark Horse, IDW, Image, and Other, which is more than I'm getting from DC. So I like to have a decently well-rounded list, not just the mainstream stuff from Marvel and DC, but obviously being pretty much, all in with the mainstream universes there, that eats up quite a bit of my reading time. Hopefully you all found something of interest in this episode. If not, you know, when the next round of solicitations come out, which frankly will be any day now, send in a clip. Let me know you're interested in other stuff. The goal here is to match people with items they're going to like. If you like stuff that I don't, please send in clips on those, because I'm never going to go pick a horror title or something like that. I just don't read it. I don't get excited about it. It's not something I feel I can promote. That is the kind of stuff I like having promoted. Damien's usually really good about doing it. Unfortunately, as you may have noticed, there were no clips from Damien this month. He was, his kids got sick, he lost his voice, whatever. It was really unfortunate. I'm always looking forward to hearing his clips. Again, Drew and Sam both talked me into some stuff with their clips. Hopefully, you know, between them and Derek and everybody else, you all found stuff that you liked. That's the whole point of this, and it needs active participation for this to work. I put up a thread every month on the forum. Please read that thread. Please post on that thread. Let me know what you're interested in, if you're going to send in clips, even if you're not. That's what makes this whole process work. So, we'll do this again in a month. Meanwhile, we've got the Mayo Reports, the Weekly Comics Spotlight, Roundtable Discussions, etc. Every month we also do the Previews Teleconference. That's now on the second Saturday after Previews comes out. So if Previews comes out on the 28th of August, as I am expecting, the call would be on September 7th. Again, check the forum for confirmation of that. Likewise, that would also be the deadline for the Previews Spotlight next time around. Again, check the forum on comicbookpage.com in case for some reason that changes. So, hopefully you found some stuff you like. I know I did. That's the whole point of this. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.